Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss.
Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories that tell us something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The community comes together for a night of true personal stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This episode of the Tell Us Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on August 6th, 2016 at the Peace Farm in Missoula, Montana. Seven storytellers shared their story based on the theme, "That's Not How It Happened." We tried something a little different at this event. Two people shared the same story. They told their story together at the same time. This edition of the Tell Us Something podcast comes to us from Melissa Kaplan Silverman and Gabriel Silverman, and it's titled, "You Stole My Bike." Thanks for listening.
I had only ever known mountain bikes. I grew up here in Missoula, and I had a couple mountain bikes. But when I heard in 2003, when I heard about a 200-mile bike ride that departed here out of Missoula, I thought, I want to give that a try. Well, the thing about a long ride, like a 200-mile road ride, is you want to have a special bike that's built, that's aerodynamic, built for the road, built for long distances like that. They're called road bikes. I didn't have one. I was a student at the time, and I didn't have a lot of money. And I find a friend of a friend had a used road bike. Now, this road bike, he was willing to sell it to me for $500. He bought it for probably like $2,000. So I was getting a great deal on it. But still, $500 was a lot of money for me. So he lets me make payments on it. And I pay it off. I take it off to Oregon, where I'm going to school. And I have all these great experiences with it. I ride up Mount Hood. I ride out to the ocean. I ride to Hood River. I ride from Seattle to Portland. This bike is super special to me. It's kind of becomes like an extension of my body, right?
I've never heard you say anything like that before.
So a couple years later, I moved to Chicago.
Where we meet. And his life has changed forever, right? So we're living in Chicago. And he had been sick the first couple of months of us dating. And I had already had a trip planned overseas. And so we decided, while I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks, he would fly home to Missoula and get his tonsils out. Because that makes sense. You fly to Missoula from a big city like Chicago and get your tonsils out. Was that why you came home?
No. So I came home because I wanted my mom to take care of me and see me through this. And she's here tonight. She made me all kinds of milkshakes, and that's why I came home to Missoula. Yeah.
Nothing impressed me more when we were first started dating. Right. So we had planned to get home around the same time. We hadn't seen each other in a couple weeks, and the rules that his doctor had given him, his tonsillectomy had gone fine, but the rule was you can't fly for 5 days. Well, he decided to push that and fly home a day early. His tonsillectomy was fine, and he said, I want to be home at the same time as Melissa. So he flew home a day early. And I got to our apartment a couple hours earlier than him, and it was one of those old brownstones where our apartment was on the third floor, but the basement was where our washer and dryer and our storage unit was. So I go into the basement to start doing laundry, and immediately I could tell something was wrong. There was about six of our storage units all lined up, and ours had very obviously been broken into. It was open, the lock was off. And so I go in, I see our coins, our laundry money was taken, which was devastating. But more importantly, that there were, we had two bikes. He had a mountain bike and a road bike, and one of them was gone. So I give him a call in the cab, and he was on the way from the airport to come back to our apartment. And I said, Gabriel, I have some bad news. One of your bikes is missing.
So I want to know, which one, which bike?
Well, I didn't know. I mean, first of all, I'm from Detroit. We get a lot of stuff stolen, so it's not, I'm used to that. But also he's like, is it my mountain bike or my road bike? Well, we don't have mountains in Detroit. And now I know the difference, but at the time I didn't. And I said, I don't know. One of the bikes, the yellow one is here. And that's all I knew.
So the yellow one is my crummy mountain bike. And so my prized road bike was gone, and a piece of me died that day. And I'm having mixed emotions because I'm really excited to see Melissa. I'm in the cab. We're going back. And that's going to be a big reunion for me because we've been away for a week or something.
We had only been dating like 3 months. We were still in love at the time.
Right now we call that a... Yeah, now we call that a vacation now when I get to be away. So I'm really upset. I get out of the cab and I can't wait to see Melissa, but I'm also sad. And so she can see that. And she's standing outside of the building. She meets me at the cab and I hug her. And I'd had a textbook tonsillectomy. Everything had gone perfectly. Literally at that very moment when I'm hugging Melissa, the areas, the sites in my throat that were previously home to my tonsils sprung open and started bleeding, and I turned my head and I spit blood.
And you would think we'd then get in the car and go to the ER right away, but instead he goes, call the police, and we gotta get my bike back. So we call the police, and they really didn't care. They are used to bikes being stolen. It's Chicago. Bikes are stolen all the time. They take our information, and he's like, whoa, wait, are you sure you got that it was a bike? And wait, it's red and it has a little blue on it. They're like walking out the door and he's chasing them. Wait, tell me the phone number you have again. And is my name written down right?
Right. When they get this guy, I want to be the one that they call right away. And I want to make sure that there's no paperwork fumbling or confusion. When you track down the perp, you need to call me right away. We're going to get this thing back.
They leave. They don't care. We go to the ER. They cauterize his tonsils. We go to bed eventually at 4 o'clock in the morning, and life moves on.
Right. It moved on. So I physically recovered a few days ago, but emotionally I was still a mess. My prized road bike was gone, and I didn't know how to live without that. It was a piece of me that was gone. So I can't let it go. And then I jump on the internet. I jump on Craigslist and I do a search. So the type of bike that it was manufactured by a company called Fuji. And that's not super uncommon, but a bike like a Trek or a Specialized or a Giant, those are much more common. And I type in Fuji road bike search. And a few results come up, and I click on, I go through them, and I find one that says Fuji Team Road Bike Carbon Fork $400, which I thought was cheap if that was my bike. And there's really no information about it. There's no pictures, there's no details, nothing like that.
And I think I haven't bought a bike on Craigslist before, but we've talked about if you're buying a bike or a car or something, you'd expect that people have, you know, this is how many miles it has been ridden on. This is where the nicks and dents are, the components, right, what they might be. Now I ride bikes now, actually, so I know a little bit more about it. And pictures for sure.
There's none of that.
But he didn't care. He convinced himself this was his bike, 100% hands down.
Right. And in retrospect, I can see, now hindsight is 2020, I can see that that's very silly, that I probably should not have pursued it, but I've convinced myself this is it. And so I email, I click and I email the guy and I say, hey, my name's Gabriel.
He always does this when he's telling a story with any correspondence.
Oh yeah, I need an air type. So I say, my name's Gabriel. I'm wondering if you still have the bike. I might be interested. Maybe I'd buy it for my girlfriend, because that seemed more plausible than me buying it for myself. And I click send, and now I'm going crazy, and I'm pacing back and forth in the apartment, and I'm clicking check email, 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 and nothing's coming in. And this is before everybody had smartphones. So a couple of people had, the cool people had Blackberries. I didn't have one. I just had one of those flip phones, so I could text message, but couldn't get my email, couldn't get the internet. So I rig up this system that forwards my email to my cell phone via text message. And that allows me to unchain myself from the check email button. And I go to the post office because I've got something to do there. And I'm pretty stressed out. And I keep checking my phone. And the second I hear that thing or I feel that thing vibrate, I've got it. And I'm looking at it. And I've got an email from this guy named Mike. And he says, hey, Gabriel, I still have the bike, but there's somebody coming to look at it this afternoon at 4. And if it doesn't sell, I'll email you back and you come see it. And I'm thinking, well, of course it's going to sell. You know, it's dirt cheap and it's the best bike ever. And it's about to slip through my fingers. It's going to be gone forever. And I'm just certain that this is my bike. And I'm thinking, this is my one chance. If it sells at 4 o'clock, I will never see it again. And I'll just have to figure out how to go on with my life without that bike. And I don't want to know what that feels like. So at the end of his email, he said, I'll let you know if it doesn't sell, Mike, and then a phone number. And any phone number, you might know this, any phone number that any landline has a physical address associated with. If it's a cell phone, you don't know where that person lives. But you can do what's called a reverse lookup. So if you plug that phone number into the internet and it's a landline, you'll get an address back. And I knew that. But I'm on my dumb phone and I can't, and I'm at the post office and I can't do that. So I call my mom, who's here in Missoula at work. She always bails
again,
me out.
Again, the epicenter of technology here in Missoula. She's gonna take care of it.
Right. And I say, Mom, I just need you to do this thing. I can't explain it. I need to do it right now. You're in front of your computer. Go to this website. Punch in this phone number. Give me the address. Goodbye. And so she punches in the number. And it was a physical address. She gives me the address. And I say, thank you. I write it down. I'm living in North Chicago. This address is in South Chicago. It's
the most dangerous suburb city. I mean, like, area of Chicago, the most dangerous neighborhood. If anybody knows Chicago, it's where all the... Not like Inglewood. It's just a dangerous part of Chicago. It's right near Midway Airport. It's dangerous. But he goes anyways.
Right. So I with traffic, I've got about an hour to drive before I'm going to confront the guy that I'm certain has my bike, Mike. So I start driving and I call him and I say, Mike, Gabriel, we've been emailing back and forth about the bike that you have for sale. I don't know where you live, because I'm on my way to his house. I don't know where you live, but I work about a half mile from his address. I give him some intersection. And I was wondering, you know, maybe if you're anywhere nearby during my lunch hour, I could swing by and look at the bike. I don't know if that'll work. You know, maybe you're across town. I don't know. And he says, oh, no way. You know, that's a half mile from me. I live at blah, blah, blah. And he confirms the address that I'm just, you know, heading down the highway towards. And I say, oh, perfect. I'll see you soon. And my next call is to Melissa. I page her. She's at work.
He was not casually driving down the highway. I swear I could hear, like, highway to the danger. I mean, he's driving probably 100 miles per hour down Lakeshore Drive. He pages me. I was doing a rotation at a hospital. And if Gabriel paged me in the middle of the day, it's emergency. He goes, you have to meet me at this address.
I'm not going to do this by myself.
I'm going to save him.
Yeah.
So I say, great, I'll meet you there, but we should probably call the police. I would just recommend it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I call the police, and I give them the whole story, and I say, I found my bike. It's a $5,000 bike, so you should be really interested. And it was a little bit of a lie, because it was a $500 bike that was being sold for $400. But I thought that maybe that would mean that the Chicago police are more interested, thousands instead of hundreds, and I don't know. And I said, found the guy that's got my bike. Need your help. And they said, oh, okay, well, let's have you meet us around the corner from his house, because I guess that it doesn't make a lot of sense to stage this police operation in front of his house. So
we meet there, and Gabriel gets there, so he has his car. I came from the other side of South Chicago, and one police officer gets there. So now there's three cars, and Gabriel tells the story, and the woman says, well, let's get some backup. So she calls another police officer. And she hears the story, and then she says, I think we need the undercover unit. So now we're sitting here thinking, it has got to be a slow drug day in Chicago. Why are there two cops, the undercover unit, and us? And I'm looking at Gabriel like, shit, this better be your bike.
Right, this was the one day in Chicago where people weren't killing each other and you know, the police had nothing to do. And so they all showed up around the corner from Mike's house. And I'm feeling like, on the one hand, I'm feeling like, this is great. I'm in cops. And I know how this works. Like, we're going to do this. I'm part of it. It's awesome. But I'm also thinking, you know, like, 30% of the Chicago police force is here talking to me now. And maybe I really didn't have much to go on with this vague Craigslist ad. And what am I going to do when Mike brings out this girl's pink huffy bike and is like, you know, here, you know, just take it. What do I do? Do I try and save face and be like, that's right, take it? Or I don't know what to do, but I'm starting to realize that this is, that maybe my logic wasn't totally there as much as I thought.
So the undercover unit shows up. And this was really like part of a movie. I mean, they could not have been more stereotypical undercover. We think it was a purple Monte Carlo. We think, because that's what they drive in the movies. But I'm 90% positive it was. And I mean, it comes rolling up with like rap music playing in the background. The doors open and like plumes of smoke come out. These two guys that are a good 350 each hop out. They're in jeans and bulletproof vests underneath their flannel shirts that are unbuttoned, but you can see their the harness that they wear around their shoulders to keep their two cannons in. They're not trying to hide that they are undercover cops. And cigars, each of them had a cigar, and they walk up and they're going to pretend.
They get out of the car and we're like,
"You're
really?
Not a cyclist. Well, you can't fool anybody.
This is you're the undercover. You know this is ridiculous."
But the whole thing is that they can't just walk up to the house as police officers and say, "Hey, show us a bike." They have to pretend like they're Gabriel coming to buy the bike because the law states that he has to bring the bike out to them, present it, and then they can potentially.
Right, because there's no warrant. So if Mike thinks that these people, that Gabriel on his front doorstep might be a police officer, I don't know why anybody would think that when they look at these guys. But if they think that, then if Mike thinks that, then he might just say, "I don't know what you're talking about," and close the door, and that would be the end.
So they take down the information and they're like, "Okay, well, so I'm Mike and that guy answering the door is going to be Gabe." And Gabriel's like freaking out. And he's like, no,
right.
Get it right. You got to get it right.
Anyways, Gabriel. You guys are Mike.
They straighten him out. They get back in their car with their cigars and they drive around the corner and they said, "Stay here. We'll walkie-talkie over to you when we're ready." Gabriel's pacing. We've got the two of us, our two cars, the two cop cars, sirens and lights ready to go on at any moment. And we get the call that we can come around the corner. I don't think Gabriel even closed the door of his car that he was driving. And he zoomed around the corner so fast, like ahead of the two cop cars, zooms around the corner. I heard the screeching of the tires, drives up on the guy's lawn, pulls his car.
Well, this is cops. That's what you do. And I've got two emotions going on. So I've got 50%, "Oh crap, there's no way this is my bike." And 50%, "This is cops, let's get this guy, I'm part of it, I'll do the takedown."
Slid across the windshield if it was cops.
Right, like, the hood?
Yeah, might as well. So he gets out of the car, he goes nuts. Here's Mike standing on his front lawn with one of the police officers handcuffed him behind his back. And Mike is in whitey tidy underwear and a wife beater tank top. And one of the cops is, like I said, holding him. And the other cop is, the undercover cop, is standing there holding Gabriel's bike. And Gabriel thinks he was all casual about it, but he goes running up to this guy going, "You stole my bike! You stole my bike!" And Mike's standing there like, "I didn't steal your bike, ma'am, but it didn't matter. We took it to the police station and filled out some paperwork. And a couple hours later, we went home with Gabriel's bike."
So... So several years later, I got another road bike, but that Fuji has a special place in my heart and I won't let it out of my sight. And I don't ride it anymore because it's mounted on the wall above our bed in our home.
Thanks, Melissa. Thanks, Gabriel. Melissa Kaplan Silverman and Gabriel Silverman met in Chicago in 2005. Gabriel grew up in Missoula and enjoys all forms of biking and skiing, building things with his hands, and creating world-class websites. Melissa is a Detroit-born Missoulian at heart who enjoys running, baking, and raising their two young sons. Together, Melissa and Gabriel run a graphic design and marketing firm. Tugboat, their golden retriever, can be seen sunbathing in the glass window of their office on Higgins Avenue. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story. And to learn more, tellussomething.org. Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. for the good of Missoula forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Top Hat Lounge. Bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years, the Top Hat hosts a variety of Montana-based artists and has become a destination for national touring musicians. In addition to great music, the Top Hat hosts comedy shows, film, and performance art. The Top Hat also offers a unique dining experience centered around local house-made ingredients. Dining made different. Check out their menu and event schedule at tophatlounge.com. The Wilma. A locally owned and independently operated venue, the Wilma has anchored the Missoula cultural and entertainment scene for almost 100 years. Constructed in 1921 as a vaudeville house, the Wilma was utilized as a movie house for the majority of its history. In the 1980s, the Wilma began to once again host live entertainment. Now it is a state-of-the-art live music facility within a spectacular historic building. Check out the event schedule at thewilma.com. CabinetParts.com, the number one source for cabinet hardware since 1997. Anyone searching for the best kitchen cabinet hardware at a great price needs to go to CabinetParts.com. CabinetParts.com, in business since 1997, combines knowledgeable hardware specialists with the best online shopping experience worldwide. With fast and easy ordering, free hinge matching service, and same-day shipping, CabinetParts.com is the direct source for all of your cabinet hardware needs. Missoula Broadcasting Company, which includes The Trail, 103.3, Missoula's quality rock, and part of our unique Western Montana community, featuring local DJs who love Missoula and know their music, Jack FM, playing what they want, U 104.5 FM. Finally, a radio station for you. UFM keeps every listener happy and upbeat with a fun mix of top 40 favorites and upbeat alt-pop gems. And ESPN 102.9, KKVU HD4, focusing on city, state, and regional sports, giving exposure and insight to teams and athletes in and around Western Montana. Martin McCain, Woodworks and Design. If you're looking for custom, modern, or mid-century cabinetry and furniture to fit your home, check out Martin's work on Instagram. He's at Martin_McCain_Woodworks over there, and MartinMcCain79 on Pinterest. And you can always friend up with him on Facebook, because if he's doing work for you, it's pretty likely you'll become friends. Facebook.com/MartinMcCainWoodworks. Find is a vintage store located in Missoula, Montana that sells unique finds, antiques, eclectic furniture, and home decor. Currently in transition, Find will reopen its doors at some undetermined date. Gecko Design is a great little design shop specializing in responsive, results-driven web design, and are proud supporters of the arts, hosting First Friday events every month and making sure that the artists receive the full sale amount when they successfully sell a piece of art. GeckoDesigns.com. The Bookstore at the University of Montana. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction. FactandFictionBooks.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashforJunkersMusic.com. If you are interested in sponsoring Tell Us Something, email me at marc@tellussomething.org. That's marc@tellussomething.org. Remember, your story matters. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story and to learn more. Tellussomething.org.